Okay, let's start with the short Vatera on Parashas B'chukosai. Yishmak Avart, it says at the beginning of the Parashas, it says B'chukosai Telechu, then all of the brachas follow from that, and it says V'nasna ha'aretz yivula ve'eitz ha'sada titim period, that the earth will give its produce, and the trees will give their fruit. Rashi over there writes that this is a nevuah, a havtacha, that afilu ilanei sirak shabeiris Yisrael asidim litim peiris. That even the non-fruit bearing trees, like ilanei sirak, like you know the maple trees, the oak trees, the trees that are not really fruit trees, are going to give peiris also. Where is that room is anywhere in the pasuk? It says eitz hasada titim periyai, so or yitim periyai. Why not let it be the fruit trees? So in the sefer Yalkut Oyrim, who collects Vertloch and it's a Hasidish sefer from 100 years ago, and he brings down from another sefer the Sheiris Yaakov. I don't know who that is. He says the following suggestion. Now the Gemara says really the halach everybody's familiar with, that if somebody is holding, let's say, a carrot, and of course the bracha is supposed to be a bayir pri adama, but accidentally he says a bayir pri eitz, he's not yaitzei. Bayir pri eitz on a hadama doesn't work. On the other hand, if a person is holding an apple and he says by mistake a bayir pri adama, he is yaitzei, because the bayir pri adama is more inclusive. Trees come from the ground also. There's the ground, then the tree, then the apple, but ultimately it comes from the ground. The carrot, we can't say, comes from a tree. It doesn't come from a tree at all. The bayir pri eitz is more localized, and therefore it doesn't include carrots. But bayir pri adama is more global, and therefore it does include the apples. So this Sheiris Yaakov says that once the Torah says v'nasna ha'aretz yivula, that the aretz will give its produce, so that really includes the eitzim also, because bayir pri adama is more inclusive. So that includes the eitz hasada also. So what's the next phrase? The eitz hasada yitim period. That must mean some other eitz hasada that wouldn't have been included in the first eitz. That's the remez. That it means afilu lani srak shabbat Yisrael. I see them litim pay rights. Okay, now, so once we're on the topic of the produce of Eretz Yisrael.
It says, im b'chukosa telechu, only then you'll reap from these benefits. A guy doesn't go in with the
chukos,
but he gets the same benefits.
A guy's not
doing the lechem. This bracha, okay, this is, I don't want to go into a long discussion about that because we're going to talk about a different topic, but I think I do. But a guy has that sometimes things are good and sometimes things are bad. What, meaning, I mean, there's nothing miraculous
the
about Nasna Ha'aretz Yivula.
Then you're going to get these benefits. Go ahead and get it.
You mean because the earth produces crops.
Yeah, my neighbor's a guy. He's going to have the same benefits.
No, but what the earth sometimes produces crops, right? Sometimes the crop is good, sometimes the crop is bad, and it depends on agricultural considerations, weather considerations, military and political considerations. Right. And what the Torah is saying is that when the Yidden are in Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to depend on any of those things. It's going to depend on whether we keep the mitzvahs. And if we keep the mitzvahs, then the crops are good, like they sometimes are for Goyim also. The crops will be good. I mean, there's nothing miraculous in these brachas. What's miraculous is that it's going to be
like
totally
only,
on...
Like only
in right, that for Yidden, it's totally on... The Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas for the Goyim, it's totally on the cause, the natural cause and effect of those various other considerations.
And it could be said that the Jews have an extra, bigger chais and a bigger responsibility to be going b'chukos that the Goyim don't have that.
Avada, right? We the b'chukos say is meant for us.
Okay.
Okay, so one segueing into the produce of Eretz Yisrael, and we being now in Shnas HaShemitah, Tav Shem Pei Beis, so there's a major issue that's been hotly contested for every Shnas HaShemitah going back approximately 130 years or so, and that is the question of the Het Mechira. As I think is pretty well known, there is a process that's done by the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, where they sell the farms that belong to the Jewish farmers to Goyim for the Shnas HaShemitah as a means of circumventing the Isurim of Shemitah. And the idea, let's just start, we'll sort of ease our way into the lamedus. But let's just start with a little bit of back, some basic background in lamedus that I think, for the most part, all sides are in agreement about, and that is that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only drabanan. Even though we just read on Shabbos, Parshas Bahar, all the mitzvahs of Shemitah, right? And it says in the Torah that Sadchalei Sizmar, Karmachalei Sizmar, but it doesn't apply nowadays, Midei Raisa. The reason why really could is a whole share unto itself. There's really three possible explanations for why Shemitah nowadays is only Drabbanan. Some Rishonim hold that the whole Kedusha Sa'aretz was only while the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Then once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Kedusha went off. Other Rishonim hold that the Kedusha was Kitch Lasa Lavi. That's the way the Rambam paskins. But nevertheless, certain mitzvahs of the Aretz are totally on B.S. Kulchem, and therefore when the Gidden came back in the times of Ezra, there wasn't that B.S. Kulchem, so the mitzvahs, or at least some of the mitzvahs, didn't go into effect. And then there's yet a third consideration of Shemitah being connected to Yovel. And there's a hekesh comparing the two. Sometimes I am hold of it, sometimes I don't. It's not so clear how we paskin, but Yovel, everyone agrees, is not in effect nowadays. And so that might be another reason why Shemitah won't be in effect nowadays. Again, since it's three different reasons, and each one is a machalik Rishonim, so there may be some Rishonim that don't hold of any of them and would hold that Shemitah B'zman Hazeh is Dereisa, but it's pretty widely accepted that there's a good majority of Rishonim, enough to consider it the mainstream position, that for one reason or another, Shemitah B'zman Hazeh is Derabanan. And if that's the case, so then the argument goes that if we, like the way you put it just before, we rely on Mechiras Chametz on a Mechira Lagoy to avoid the Yisra of Chametz, and over there we're dealing with the Dereisa. Bayiro Bayimatze is the Dereisa, and yet we say, look, we're selling it to the Goy, and now it's not ours anymore. So, even though everybody knows that we're going to buy it back afterwards, so there's a little bit of a wink-wink here, you could call it a harama of sorts, but it's good enough. It's good enough to rely on even for our Bal Yerol Bal Yematzeh, which is a Dereisa. Over here, we're only dealing with Yisurim Derabanan, so it should only be easier than by Mechiras Chametz. So based on that, there are those that want to say that we could just sell to the Goyim and thereby avoid the Yisur. Now, before getting into, again, what I want to try to cover today is, I guess, to go through some of the issues that are involved in this and that are debated, not chas v'shalom to make any kind of a conclusion about who's right or who's wrong, but just to, I guess, that you could participate in the debate in a more educated way. That's the goal of the shiur.
Crystallizing the arguments.
Yeah, know what the issues are. Before we get into the specific issues, but the comparison to chametz, because that's often the way, and it's so interesting that that's the way that you presented the question just before. That's often the way people come to this. That how is it any different than mechiras chametz? So there's how is it any different than mechiras chametz? If we're comfortable with mechiras chametz, so why shouldn't we be equally comfortable with the mechiras hakarkois in Eretz Yisrael? So there's a couple of points that the critics make over here. That for one thing, mechiras chametz is a leis aseh, meaning it's not that the son of the Torah wants us to do. The son of the Torah doesn't want us to do. The Torah doesn't want us to own chametz. So by selling the chametz to the guy, we're doing exactly what the Torah told us to do. That way, we're not owning the chametz. By Shemitah, there's a ratzon haTorah of v'shav sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem. So if we, even assuming that the mechira is as good as the mechiras chametz and it succeeds in avoiding all the issues, we're not in violation of anything, but at the end of the day, we weren't mekayim v'shav sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem, we just avoided v'shav sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem. So if that's one discrepancy between this and chametz. And to
are we allowed to sell still
a
land?
Oh, we'll come to that. We'll come to that, Belina, in a couple of minutes. To sharpen this argument a little bit more, because on both sides, this becomes a very passionate issue. And, you can argue back, okay, so it's maybe mechametz is not exactly the best comparison, but sometimes we use tricks to avoid mitzvahs asay also. For example, you know, if somebody buys a beged and he looks at it and he buys, you know, and he sees, oh, there's four corners, but he didn't buy it as a talis, you know, he bought it as a regular beged and, you know, as a cloak or a cape of some sort, and then, oh, there's four corners. So what do you do? So you're ma'agil, you know, you round off one of the corners. I've done that one time, I think, with a Purim costume. You know, one of my children was dressing up as a Mexican, so they had, what's that called? The thing that they put over them?
Pancho.
Sombrero. Pancho? Sombrero. Maybe. Yeah, the pancho. So it was a tzitzis. Oh, does this need tzitzis? L'chair, it does. So we rounded off one of the corners, and then didn't have four corners. Okay, so sometimes we do tricks to avoid mitzvahs asay also. So let it be comparable to that, but the counter argument is that you know over here that which you know Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael is like a major part of the whole narrative of Jewish history. Hashem says that I am going to, you know, I made a bris with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the way that I'm fulfilling that bris and expressing my ava to the Jewish people is that I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to drive out the goyim. I'm going to drive out the goyim and give you the land. And I want you to and then to go and say, no, actually, I think I'd rather give it back to them so that we don't have to do v'shav sa'ar shavas l'Hashem. It is a much more objectionable step than rounding off a corner of a garment, because that's not a major part of the whole narrative of Hashem and the Jewish people. So that's not really, I don't know if this is strictly speaking a halachic argument or maybe more of a sentimental argument, but a big part of why I think there's very strong feelings among the critics of the Mechiras Chametz. But al-Kapanim, that I'm just mentioning it more in terms of explaining why it's really much, much less simple than just the Mechiras Chametz. But from here on, I'm going to try to leave aside the sentimental arguments. And again, I don't mean that in a disparaging way. It might be a very important part of the discussion. But leaving that aside and getting to more just to the Lamdisha arguments.
How come it's not enough just to make it hefker? Why do we have to sell it to a guy?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
It's the same value you're owed by a month, so if
you're you want it back.
Right, okay.
You want it back after a year. You should repossess it. What if somebody else takes it?
Somebody else will take it and sell to a
who's going to come into your house?
If it's hefker.
I mean, it's your farm. It's your farm.
Chametz.
Oh, you're talking about chametz.
Yes.
Chametz.
You're in the problem. You should beat the limit. You're sure.
Right. No, by chametz, that's not good enough. You still have to be mivaret. You still have to be mivaret. You have to be shame in the beginning of Pesachim, but that's too far afield.
Okay.
And with the Sada, why can't you make it after?
Okay, I want to start with giving the historical background. The first Shemitah this was Negea was Tafresh Mem Tes, which is 1889. Now, until then, the Yidden just didn't have farms. The Yidden had been living in Eretz Yisrael by that time for about 350 years. I mean, before, there were always some Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. But they started coming back really in the times of the Beis Yosef, 1500s. But they never owned land. They bought the produce from the Goyim. The Goyim owned the land. But there was, you know, in the 1800s, there was a new yeshuv, and in the 80s is when they started to move outside of the city and buy some land and build some farms, and these new farms, approaching the Shemitah of 1889, the farmers had the shaila, what are we going to do? 1889 was Tafresh Mem Tes. So the shaila, so it's, I don't know the whole, the sequence of events of how, you know, why it went to Europe in the first place, because as you'll see, it went to Europe, then came back to Eretz Yisrael and installed there. But what happened was that the Shaila was being discussed in Warsaw between three of the Gedalia Paisim, the Dara of Shila Kutna, that's the author of the Yeshuas Malkai, was a Chassidish Paisik, Rav Shmuel Mulliver, who was the Rav of Bialystok, and there was a Rav Shmuel Zamvil Klepfish, who I think was the Rav of Warsaw. And these were all Chashva Paiskim. And they ruled on behalf of these farmers that they could sell the chametz to the Goyim to avoid the sell their farms to the Arabs to avoid the problems of to avoid the Isurim of Shemitah. And they had this meeting together, they came to this conclusion and they said, provided that we get the haskama of the Gedol HaPoiskim of the Dor, Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan Spector. And Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan Spector, then it was sent to him, and he signed off on it. He said that he's also maskim. It's a good heter.
Where was he? But,
what?
Lita? He was in Lita?
Yes, he was the Rav of Kovna. That's Lita. But he also attached a condition. He said that it's fine with me, but provided that they do it through the basin in Yerushalayim. And that's where it fell apart, because
the condition of the Jewish settlement in Israel was very dire.
Yes.
That was one of the reasons.
That was definitely a big part of the, right. They were talking about how the farms, it was a brand new project, and the farms will just fall apart, and the Jews will lose any ability to own any land in Eretz Israel. And also, perhaps, that the farmers would, there was talk of even dying of hunger, perhaps, b'kuach nefesh.
Right.
It's not clear how seriously that was meant. It doesn't seem that the mamish were matrid on the basis of b'kuach nefesh, but it was a very considerable shasat chak, right, both for the farmers personally and for the sort of the project of the Yidden coming back to Eretz Yisrael. It was a very, very considerable shasat chak. So these the Gedalei HaPoiskim, Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan, they all said, sounds like a good idea, but it has to go through the Beis in Yerushalayim. Came back to the Beis in Yerushalayim, and the Beis in Yerushalayim said, no way. The Gedalei HaDor in Yerushalayim at that time were Rabbi Shmuel Salant and Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. Both of them were world-class Talmidei Chachamim and Poiskim. They also, I don't know if they were influenced, but they also, there was also input on the other side from Europe, the Beis HaLevi, the Netziv, and Rav David Karliner, who were three of the Gedalei HaPoiskim. David Karliner is not as well known as the other two, but he was at the time, he was very, very well known. He was definitely one of the Poiskei Hadar. And they all argued very strongly against Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan Spector, and they asserted that may not have been so relevant, but the Poiskim in Yerushalayim, they said no, and they didn't do it.
What was the
reason? So we'll come in a moment to that. I want to first give a little bit of the history, and then we'll come to the issues. They said no; they weren't masking to the heter, and so Tafrish Memtes, the basin of Yerushalayim, the Ashkenazi Rabbanim didn't do it. On the other hand, the Rishon LeZion, whose name was Rabbi Yaakov Shol Al Yashar, he thought that it was fine. He was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he said, we do it with Chametz, let's do it now. And I don't know what the relationship was, and this is, it was a long time ago, what the communication was, were they just kind of operating in parallel universes and not so aware of each other, or was it meant as a strong act of dissent? I don't know. But he was fine with it. He also, it's interesting, he did it in consultation with a Rav from Tunisia, Rav Ful Meir Parajal. I never heard of him. I don't think anybody, I don't think too many people have ever heard of him. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to share with you one thing I know about him. In a short video clip that I saw of Rav Avadia Yosef, somebody came to Rav Avadia Yosef. Rav Avadia Yosef was a proponent, a supporter of relying on the I think he still recommended that people for themselves be machmir, but he held that the heter is a good heter. There's what to read, there's yeshami lismach. I saw a 3-minute video clip of somebody coming to him and saying, what is Kvod HaRav, what's the story with the heter mechira? And he said, Yaakov Shol Al Yashar, Rav Ful Meir Parajal, Tzadikim, Kedoshim, Chasidim, you have no idea. He said this of Parajal, one time in Tunisia, a lion escaped and was walking down the street of the town and everybody ran away. And Rav Ful Meir Parajal walked right up to the lion and shooed him away the way you would shoo away a dog. And people asked him afterwards wasn't the Rav afraid? And he said that if somebody is a proper Yirei Shemayim, he doesn't have to be afraid of animals. That's Adkan, the video. That's what I saw that Rav Yosef said about this Yid. So these are Halig Yidden, no doubt. And they made the Mechira. So it seems that in that first Shemitah, Tafrish Memtes, there were some that that sold their land following these Sfaradish Paiskim. But the majority of the Yiddish farmers at that time, the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, did not. They followed the Rabbanim Yishalayim, and somehow or another they stuck it out. They managed to survive that year and then continued farming the following year. And the Yishuv survived. That's what happened in Tefrish Memtes. 7 years later, Tefrish Nunvav, that's 1895-96, there was a major switch, and that was that Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin, who was probably, he wasn't the Rav, Rav Shmuel Salant was the Rav HaRoshi, but Rav Shulev Diskin, I don't know, I don't mean to go take a side and say who's bigger than whom, but I think he was the highest stature of the Paiskim in Yerushalayim, that's my impression.
Isn't he Rav Yerushalayim? He
wasn't
officially the Rav.
I thought Rav Shmuel Salant was officially the Rav Yerushalayim. He was always called the Brisker Rav. He was Rav Brisk before the Soloveitchiks, but I think even when he was in Yerushalayim, he was called the Brisker Rav. He switched. He, for Tefrish Nunvav, was maskim to go ahead with the Mechira. So what changed? That two things. One, and again, this telling of the history, I'm basing primarily on Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's telling. In his, he has a Sefer Madani Aretz, which is all about the Mechira on Shemitah. The whole Madani Aretz on Shvius is about the issues that he has with the Hetter Mechira and possible solutions and ways of improving it. It's all devoted to this topic. And he has a Hakdama of a couple of pages where he gives over this history. That's where I'm taking this from. And the way he tells it is that Reb Shulev Diskin changed his mind primarily because two things changed. One is that between 1889 and 1896,
He
supported Reb Shulev Diskin in 96.
Was he against it?
He was.
Years before?
Yes, he was vehemently against it the first time, and that's why they didn't do it. But for Tefrish Nunvav, he came on board. One thing that changed was that there were far more farmers, and whereas in Tefrish Memtes, the first Shemitah, most of the farmers were Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Yidin, that if we told them it's Aser, they weren't going to do it. By Tefrish Nunvav, that was no longer the case. Most of the farmers were Chilonim, that they were going to do what they were going to do regardless. And maybe we can make things better with a Mechira. That was one thing that changed. And the other, and this we'll hopefully get to maybe by the end of this year, there was a Rav in Yafo, or Rav Naftali Hertz, I don't know his last name, Naftali Hertz Halevi. Again, I don't know that he's a particularly famous person, but he came up with an idea that helped avoid one of the major problems that they were grappling with. And with that, with his new idea, which again we'll come to when we get up to that part of the discussion, Rav Shulev Diskin said, "Oh, it's much better now." And then he went ahead with it. And Tefrish Nunvav, the basin of Yerushalayim, made the Mechira, and from then until today, consider the Rabbanut to be some sort of a continuation of the based in Agadlo of Yerushalayim, so that body has been doing a Mechira since Tefrish Nunvav, which was the Shemitah of 1895-96. So what were the issues and the arguments for and against? So I'm going to try to focus mainly on three issues. One is whether the Mechira is Chal altogether, not necessarily in this order, but one is whether the Mechira is Chal. When we sell it to the guy, does it become the guy's? That's one. The second is, assuming that it does become the guy's land, does that change the Halacha? Does that change Halacha Shemitah? Or maybe Shemitah applies on the guy's land as well as it applies on the Jew's land. That's the second issue. And the third, which is not really a Shemitah-related issue, but even supposing that the Mechira would be Chal, and the Mechira would take off the Yisurim of Shemitah, but are you allowed to make such a Mechira? Is it mutter to sell the land in Eretz Yisrael to the Goyim? That's the third issue. It's not a Shemitah-related issue per se, but obviously it has a major impact on this whole idea of doing a...
Is there an issue whether it's Chal?
That's what it's called, the first of the three. Is it Chal?
Is it Chal?
Then assuming that it's Chal...
Is the Mechira Chal?
Is one... Assuming that it's Chal, does it take off the mitzvah of Shemitah? Is two, and is it mutter to go ahead with such a thing?
Is the sale,
like chametz, where if you don't pay it, then it goes back to the original seller, or is it a real sale, closing, and then hopefully they sell it back to you after a year?
That's what it is by chametz. By chametz, is what the, okay. The second description that you gave.
I thought in chametz, is he has to pay a full amount by the end of a certain date. If he doesn't, then the chametz comes back.
Absolutely not.
Okay,
no.
So I'm wrong.
Okay. No.
Is that how it is in the shmita?
People have owned it.
By
Shemitah. Is that also?
I think they're also, it's sold, actually by Shemitah, it's more of a, by Chametz, it's a permanent sale, just there's an expectation that we'll buy it back. By Shemitah, they don't do it that way, but that, when we get up to the third discussion that I just alluded to, we'll have to go into the details on that.
When you sell the property to somebody, then after Yovel, it's supposed to come back to you. So why is that Mechira then?
So you sell it. On the topic of whether the mechira is chal, so why shouldn't the mechira be chal? So the issue is, you know, people are concerned with harama types of shilas. So this brings us back to the comparison to mechira, meaning a sale, a kinyan is only chal if there's gemiras das. So the objectors said, this is not a real sale, nobody really means to sell it. They just, you know, going through the motions because they want to avoid the Isser, but they don't really mean to sell their land to the Goyim.
Put a string up and you can carry.
That's not telling a das. You don't need das for a Tzuras HaPesach to make a wall. You need das for a kinyan. But the kasha from Chometz is right. The objectors said there's no gemiras das here. So the defenders will say, why is it any worse than Chometz? But the objectors say that in the case of chametz, right, let's say I have $1,000 worth of whiskey. Now this is whiskey that, how did I get it? I bought it in a liquor store. I spent $1,000 on it, and now I have it in my house, and I put it into my mechiras chametz. If the guy would come and say and take away the whiskey, so he'll owe me $1,000. So why shouldn't I have das for that sale? I'm really covered, because what's the worst that can happen? He'll it's true. Nobody really expects the guy to take it, but if he takes it, he'll pay me for it, and then I'll have the money instead of the whiskey. So we think that most Yidden do have das. I'm fine with that. Even though maybe I'd rather he doesn't. It would be kind of annoying. Then I'm not going to have my whiskey collection. I'm going to have to start collecting it over again. And I'm going to have to go back to the store to buy it. Okay, but for that annoyance. But on the other hand, the Torah says, "Bal yirah bal yimatzeh." If I do this sale, I can avoid the iser bal yirah bal yimatzeh. So it's worth it. So we really are. A person has das that he wants the sale to be chal, and he's willing to live with those consequences. When we talk about the farms in Eretz Yisrael, if a farmer in Eretz Yisrael is to avoid the Isser Chametz is selling his land to the Arabs, if you know, and with the expectation, of course, that probably Israel, you know, just on paper, nothing's going to happen, and after Shemitah, we're going to buy it back. What if the Arab will come and say in the middle of Shemitah, okay, I'm taking this land, and he's going to pay you for it, right? Because we're selling it for full price, he's then going to have to pay you for it. Are the Yidden there to Israel really willing to sell their farms to the Arabs if they get fair market value? Now, are you allowed to? Is the third question, Melina? We're going to come to, but are they really willing to? And if the answer is no, then there isn't really das for this kinyan. So that's why the question of gemiras das is much more objectionable and controversial over here than it is by mechiras chametz. There was a related issue again about the chalos of the mechira, that real estate law. You know, the sale of real estate is different than the sale of metaltalin. Real estate, in many places, or most places, a sale is only chal if it's recorded publicly. When I sell you a phone, so the phone becomes yours. But when I sell you a piece of land, so the government, the municipality, keeps track of every lot, who it belongs to, right? They have to know who to give a ticket to if you don't shovel.
Yeah, but
so
it sounds like that.
So we make a kinyan that makes the kinyan that makes the sale chal pi halacha. But in the din of the malchusa, if in the din of the malchusa it's not chal, is that ma'akev? It's a difficult question. That's one of the longer discussions that Rav Shlomo Zalman tackles. To what extent does din of the malchusa interfere? Mm-hmm. But that's again, I'm just mentioning that issue. That's one of the objections that might.
The deed doesn't pass.
If you don't record it, then you don't have precedent. You don't have someone else actually coming ahead of you. But I don't think that it's not a sale.
So, okay,
we're talking whether it's a machir.
Obviously.
The guy can sell it again and record it.
Right, but it doesn't mean it's not a sale. There is a sale.
Right.
So I wonder...
The recording is a proof that it...
No one's going to say there wasn't a sale.
I wonder to what extent this depends on time and place and culture.
Right.
They all were assuming that... They use a word that that any sale that's not recorded in the tabo...
Tabo is the deed.
Well, what language? Are you familiar with the word also?
Tabo is an old... I just
have to call you out on this, because when I gave the shir on Shabbos, only the Sfaradim in the shir knew what the word meant.
Tabo.
So I don't know how you come
this
to know.
This will everybody knows what tabo is.
Oh, yeah?
It's an old Arabic word for where you record the deed.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. A city register.
Okay. So they wrote... So what all the Paitzim seem to be working with the assumption that a sale that's not recorded in the tabo is not chal.
Maybe that's why condition.
Now, maybe in American law, it's different.
In a tabo in Israel, it's very common that a guy has 100 meters, and then the tabo is only 90 meters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
I hear. You follow
I hear.
That's how the bezin makes money.
Maybe that's why they had the condition.
It's
got to
less,
less
unknown.
Because then, once it goes through bezin, then it's a public...
okay.
Okay. It's
so, okay, I don't know. I don't know how the real estate laws are written. They seem to be working with an assumption. And what's most interesting is that, you know, this discussion takes place under various regimes. They're discussing it first... in the 1890s, early 1900s, when it was under the Ottomans, and then they're discussing in the 20s, 30s, and 40s when it's under the Mandate, and then I don't know if this is still gets discussed now, I'm not sure, but in all the old Paiskim that were arguing about this, they all, as far as I could tell, even the defenders were acknowledging that there's a Din of the Malchusa that has to be recorded in the Tabo, but they argued about whether that's Ma'akim and the Chalais of the Kenyan. Okay, so that's the first issue, whether the Kenyan is chal. A more lumdisha discussion is, assuming that the Kenyan is chal, does that change Hilchas Shemitah? Meaning, okay, we sold the land to the guy, now it's the guy's land. Are the mitzvahs of Shemitah less relevant to a guy's land than they are to a Jew's land? We're talking about an Eretz Yisrael still. In other words, is there a yesh Kenyan la'akum to be mafkia, the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? It's a shaila in the Gemara. In Gittin Daf Mem Zayin, there's machlekes amirayim. Yesh kinyan levikachavim lafkia midei meiser. Ein kinyan levikachavim lafkia midei meiser. It's machlekes Rabbi Rabbi Lazar. And unfortunately, I mean, for the purpose of this discussion, we paskin ein kinyan. It's clear. The Rabbim paskins, and as far as I know, all the Rishonim paskin. That's the accepted halacha. That we pass like Rabba, that ain kinyan levichavim lafkia midei meiser, and meiser is just mentioned as an example. The same would be true legabe shmita. And if that's the case, then the whole idea would appear to be dead on arrival. If selling it to a guy, he doesn't take off the mitzvah meiser. So what's anybody thinking?
Who's giving meiser according to Rabba, the guy or the Jew?
No, the problem.
The Jew.
Why?
The Jew.
The land never left.
It's not yours. You sold it.
No, the land never left.
But it means it'll still be tabel if you'll want to eat from it. And I mean, the guy could do whatever he wants with it. But then, if you're going to buy from there, then it'll be tevel, and it'll be subject to the mitzvah of ma'isa.
But next year, you won't have to worry about that. The year after shemitah, you take it back from the guy. So during shemitah, it was his. Now it's yours. You buy it afterwards.
Okay, but during Shemitah, again, we're selling it to the guy to take off the mitzvah of Shemitah, but if we pass on like Rabbah, that the guy's kinyan is not mafkiya the mitzvahs, so even when it's in the hands of the guy, it's still chayav.
You can't work
the in Shemitah.
So let him deal with it. I'm saying it's not my problem.
No, but you can eat it.
No, but I mean, right, legabi the payris, legabi the avodas hakarka, whatever I wanted to do before the mechira, whatever I wanted to do. So if the discussion would stop there, there'd mamish be nothing to talk about. If ain kinyan la'akum lafkia, then obviously there's no hetter mechira. The reason why there is a discussion, there is what to talk about, is because there's a big chiddush that the Beis Yosef said. The Beis Yosef, and he writes this, the Beis Yosef wrote, besides for the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, he also wrote a Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. And on the Rambam in Zerayim, in Hilchas, this is, I think, in Hilchas Trumas, he writes the interesting chiddush, he's medayik from the words of the Rambam, that when we say, Ein kinyan la'akom hafkia, that only means that when the goy's purchase is not mafkia, as in makes the kedusha disappear, so much so that if you'll buy it back, you'll have to instill a new kedusha. Like what happened when Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He took over the land. Then we came back in the times of Ezra. There's a whole process that had to take place to reinvest the land with kedusha. So if you'd hold Yesh Kinyan La'akam Lafkia, that would mean that every time that you sell a piece of land to a guy, it's Mafkia the Kedusha, and the Kedusha is gone. So much so that even if a Jew would buy it back, it still won't be Kaddish because it disappeared entirely. And we Paskin, Ein Kinyan La'akam Lafkia, only means that it doesn't do that. It doesn't do what Nebuchadnezzar did. It still has a Kedusha Sa'aretz, La'inyan, that when a Yid will own it in the future, it'll be Chayav. But while it's in the hands of the guy, even the man da'amar ain kinyan lafkia, the mitzvahs don't apply. That was the chiddush of the Beis Yosef. That even though we pass an ain kinyan la'akam lafkia, but while it's in his hands, the mitzvahs don't apply. It's just ain kinyan lafkia means that when we buy it back, the mitzvahs come back. Now this was a major debate in the times of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef against the Mabit. They were two of the Gedalei HaPaiskim, probably the two Gedalei HaPaiskim in Tzvas. This is like the first dar of the Yidden coming back and resettling in Eretz Yisrael, which really happened when the Ottomans took over Eretz Yisrael, which was in the early 1500s. And that first dar included the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, and they argued about this. And this was Negeya, it was Negeya, that's just for Shemitah. You know, when they were talking about it, it wasn't about Mechira to Goyim. If I care, the land all belonged to the Goyim. The Jews didn't own any land. They weren't farmers. They rented houses, and they, for the most part, they didn't make much of a parnasa. The Kittel and Sfas were people that were basically just spending their whole day in Avodas Hashem and being supported from the Chutz Laaretz. Right, they were supported by, which community did you say?
European.
Yeah, right. European and the Sfaradim also. They were supported from Chutz Laaretz, but they were certainly not farmers. They didn't own any land. So this question was really negeya to, you know, when you buy food from the Goyim, is it subject to the halachas of Mitzvah Sathlius Ba'aretz, or is it not? And that was a big debate between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. And it seems, at least, again, that the supporters of the Hadam Mechira say that the Minhag became nispashet to assume like the Beis Yosef, that while the land is in the hands of the Goyim, it's not subject to any of the mitzvahs.
Should be telling the Mechalekas of Kutcha Rishayim,
Kitchel Shah to Kitchel Asad Lava, or not Kitchel Asad Lava?
What the Beis Yosef was Mechadesh?
No, we're assuming that the Kedushas Haaretz is here.
Still there.
Right, we're assuming the Kedushas Haaretz is here. But when you...
Right.
The Kedushas Haaretz is here, but if a guy buys a piece of land, does that land get... Does that land go out of the Chiyuv and the Mitzvahs?
Yeah.
That's this question.
Of course it is.
You say, of course,
but okay.
I'm arguing
that. I thought you would say, of course, it's not. Okay,
it's a dumb statement.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to say just the opposite way around, actually.
No, what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to respond.
Yes.
Okay. So this was the chiddush of the Beis Yosef, and then again the minig it seems. Was Nispasha like the Beis Yosef, the Pasah Shulchan is a very important player in this whole story. The Pasah Shulchan was a Yisrael Mishklov, who was one of the Talmidei Hagra. And when the Talmidei Hagra came to Yisrael in the early 1800s, he was the leader of the Kehillah, and he wrote a Sefer on Inyan Yisrael. And he supports very strongly this position of the Beis Yosef, that while the land belongs to the Goyim, and again, he also was not talking about a Hetem Mechiri, he was never Ol Al Date, there were no Jewish farmers. He was talking about the land that the Goyim own. When we buy the produce of that land, is it subject to Mitzvah Tzolis Ba'aretz? And he advocated very strongly that the halacha is like the Beis Yosef, that that land is patur from the mitzvah tlius ba'aretz for the most part. And also, very significantly, he says that when he and his whole chabura came to Eretz Yisrael, that's what they found. That was the minig in Eretz Yisrael. There are some reports also that the minig was farkert. The shloch seems to say the shloch, who was from Prague, but came b'seif yom up to Tveria, and he is quoted, I didn't see it inside, but he's quoted as saying that he found that the minig is like the mabit. There's also other makayres that suggest that way. And it's a very, very important question, because if you assume like the Mabit, then there's no basis at all for the Hatem Mechira. But those that supported the Hatem Mechira, following the Pasa Shulchan, they assume that the Iker is like the Beis Yosef, that the land that's owned by the Goyim, that's Mafkiyeh from the Mitzvahs.
Is this whole discussion only for Yerushalayim or for all of
Eretz Yisrael? All Eretz Yisrael.
Eretz
Yisrael, right. Yeah. But it's a very, very important limitation. Because this Beis Yosef, that says this chiddush, that even though but while it's in his hands, it's potter from the mitzvahs, he makes it clear that that's only said about the produce. Meaning, le'inin, that the peyrois shouldn't have kedushas shvias, for that it helps that it belongs to the goyim. But avoidas akarka, the sadchalei sizmar, kamachalei sizmar, for that the fact that it's sold to the goyim is not going to help at all. That's clear in the Beis Yosef, in the Kesef Mishnah, and I'm not sure. If I'm not mistaken, one possibility is that the difference between the Gufa Karka and the pay race, that they can't change the Gufa Karka, but it could change the pay race. I think that's one of the explanations that's given. I think there might be other explanations. But this was stipulated by all of the early supporters of the Mechira, that the Hetem Mechira was done to make the payrais of Shvius mutter, not subject to the, right, there are limitations, you're not allowed to do business with it, you have to make sure that what's worried l'achila is only used for achila. Such limitations could be removed with the Hetem Mechira, because the karka of the goyim, the payrais don't have kedusha Shvius. But the isuri avoida, malacha, that would still be in effect. So how does it help? So what they said in the early Hetem Mechira is, what they said was that you could, the Hetem Mechira will help for the pay raise. For avoidas hakarka, you should get a guy to do it. You should have goyish workers, samir la'akum, on that, and then the umetzareif. But you could be mako on those malachais, and then, now here already gets into the really nitty-gritty details of Maseches Shvius, which malachais are asr deiraisa and which malachais are asr derabanan, even though we're not talking about deiraisa here, it's Shvius bezman as derabanan, but those that are full-fledged malachas ha-karka, avodas ha-karka on Shemitah, that were not matter al yidei Yisrael, even with the Mechira. But those that even bizman shashmit and ayheges would only be also midra banan. That means they're not full-fledged malacha of karka. So those we're going to be matir even for a Jew to do. So even the farmers that are following the het mechira, there's really those that are rosh hamitir mitzvahs. There's still nuances. There's details. It's not matir everything. It's matir the kedushas haperis, which is what's important really for the consumers. Meaning, inside the consumers, you're not so concerned about the agriculture. You're concerned about the produce. So the Hetem Mechira, according to its defenders, would help for that. For the farmers, it helps for them to do the minor malachas by themselves. But for the major malachas, those that will be asim in atayra, only on the akum. And that I think. Everybody agrees that you can't do more than that with the Hetem Mechira, because that's as far as the second issue. And again, those that oppose, let's say the Chazayin Ish, who was a very, very strong opponent of the Hetem Mechira, this was one of his issues. He maintained that the Mabit was correct, that Ein Kinyan La'akum La'afkia means that the selling it to a guy doesn't change anything. It's still Chayev in all of Hilchas Shemitah, including for the pay raise. And he, you know, working through the sugyas in Shmi, in Maseches Shviyas and Yerushalmi, he feels that there's compelling raya that the Mabit's position is correct. And then also Lagabi, the history where the minig was, he points out that it's not really so, even though the Pasa Shulchan says that the minig was always like the Beis Yosef, but there's evidence in other sources that the minig was not universally like the Beis Yosef, and it's still an open question. And his opinion is that the Mabit is correct, so he passes like the Mabit. And again, according to that, there's, you know, selling it to the Goyim isn't going to help anything.
But, the Mabit, is the Mabit shita only on the produce or also on the labor?
Both. According to the Mabit, everything is
outside. The field is on the Yisor, on the person, not
right.
On the land.
No, so no. The Mabit is saying, "Ain kinyan l'akam l'afia." Right, it's not us.
It's a person mechuyev mitzvah. What's that goy mechuyev
mitzvah? No, of course the goy is not mechuyev mitzvah. If the goy, if we sell him the land and he says, "Okay, it's my farm now," and he's working, and echanami, if the goy would be doing all the work, then that would be fine. But
even according to the Mabit.
Even according to the Mabit, well, no, according to the Mabit, you might still have issues of amir l'akam. I mean, you're right that if a guy owns a farm and the guy is working on his farm because he feels like it, that's for sure no issues. But if he's doing it for us, if I hire the guy, then I think it's no better than a Amir Lakum issue.
About talking about the fact when they came back to Eretz Yisrael and the goyims were owning the land and working right. The land and the shaliyus can eat the fruit.
Right.
He says, Mabit said, don't, because it's
right.
Not mafkia.
Right.
But he didn't say that the guy can't work the land.
Right, right, no,
that's
right.
That's what I was asking.
Right, in that scenario, of course, the guy was allowed to work the land. Okay, so that covered the issue of the kinyan being chal, right? That was one controversy. And then the issue of assuming that it is chal, is it mafkia the kedusha, which also is a controversy. Then the third, and in some ways that maybe the most interesting of the areas of controversy are assuming that, fine, if you'd sell to the guy, you would belong to the guy. And if it belongs to the guy, it's part from Shemitah. But there were places that said, but even so, you can't do this because it's a law in the Torah. You're not allowed to sell the land of Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. It says, Loi Sechonim, and the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Chaf says, Loi Sitin Lahem Chaniyah Ba'aretz, that the Torah says, I drove out the Avodah Zarah to give the land to you. You can't give it back to the Avodah Zarah. So for that reason, you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. The Lashon of the Netziv, I mentioned earlier, he was one of the Paisim back in 1889 that said, you know, for the Shemitah, of 1889, that said that you can't do this. He uses a Lashon, everybody quotes this Lashon, he has a very, very geshmak line. He said that those that want to do the Hatamachira, they're Bereach min hazeiv upageya ba'ari, that they're escaping from the wolf and meeting the lion. Because the Shemitah, like we said at the beginning, the whole Shemitah, Bizman Hazeh, is Drabanan. We're dealing with Yisurim Drabanan. To avoid the Yisur Drabanan, they're going to go sell the land to a guy, which right. The Torah says you're not allowed to do. And that's a full-fledged Leisas that's still in effect, Bizman Hazeh. So they're getting involved in a bigger problem. So that's a formidable objection. Yeah, that's not going to change. That's not going to change this. No. No.
So Rebus is minotaur.
Right.
It's allowed with the heterisk.
Right. Right.
How can you use the rabbanon to get rid of the riser?
Head to the rabbanon also.
The riser, you're not allowed to loan with interest. The riser, you're not allowed to loan with interest, but you're doing it with the heterisk.
Right. Right.
You can change anything you want.
So that was the idea in Tafrich Mem Test. The first time around, what they did was those that said to do it. So one of the solutions, one of the workarounds for this was that maybe like sechanim is only if you're selling to them for keeps. If you're giving it to them forever for, you know, a real sale, that's a leisachanim. But if you put a time limitation in the sale, the way they put it, interestingly, was that they're selling it for 2 years. They didn't sell it for 1 year. They sold it for 2 years. It's just interesting. I'm mentioning it as a piece of trivia, but we're not going to go into why that for that detail. But they what? No, I don't think it was the Yagel. But they sold it for 2 years. So that, again, the proponents said that helps avoid the Yisur Leisachanim. Now, the critics said two things. First of all, says who? How do you know that avoids this? As a matter of fact, it says in the Gemara that there's an Isidra Bonon of Schiris. This Isidra is on sale. This Isidra Bonon is Schiris. A Mechir Lizman, a temporary sale, is not going to be better. It might be worse, but it's not going to be better than a Schiris. If even a Schiris is Aser, albeit Midra Bonon, which means it's not a lion, it's only a wolf, okay. But if a Schiris is Aser, so who says that a temporary, why do you think a temporary sale should be Mutter? But moreover, once you're making a temporary sale, who says that that is mafkia? Who says that that accomplishes what we're trying to accomplish of getting rid of the Isser, of the problem on Shemitah? So it's like nishtahin nishtahair. It might still be too much for the Isser, and Lav Dafka did enough to avoid the Shemitah problem. I mentioned earlier there was a major development between 1889 and 1896. This from Naftali Hertz from Tveria. And I have a solution for this problem. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Daf Chaf, that's where the Sugya of Lechachanim is, it says in a Brice over there that while you're not allowed to sell land, but you're allowed to chop down a tree and sell them the tree, once it's not Mechubel Karka, that's fine. You're allowed to sell them plants that are not Mechubel Karka. You're allowed to sell them produce, right? In the farmer's market, you could sell them carrots, even though they used to be in the land. That's no problem for sure. So then there's a Machlekes Tanoim. If you want to sell him plants, so Remeir Shita is, you have to first detach it. Then when you have a detached plant, a tree or a different plant, you could say, I'm selling you this plant, and he could take it home with him. That's fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, along the same lines, I go a little further. As long as you're just selling him the plant, you could say, you could sell it before you actually cut it. And say, I'm selling it to you, al menas, that you cut it and take it home with you. In learning the Gemara, it seems like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda are really just arguing about who has the burden of the labor. Rabbi Huda is giving you a kula. You don't have to actually go with the axe and chop down the tree yourself. If the guy wants to buy a tree and take it home with him, you could say, okay, I'm selling you the tree and you chop it down and take it home with you. Of course, the expectation is he's going to take it home with him, meaning that you're just selling the tree, you're just selling the plants, you're not selling the karka, that's why it's mutter. But Rabbi Yehuda said that it's mutter even while it's still attached, as long as you include a tnai that you're going to chop it down and take it home with you. So Rabbi Naftali Hertz said that once Rabbi Yehuda said, and we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda, so we're working with the assumption that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to sell the plants even while they're attached, Almanas, that he'll come and take it away, and that's not a violation of Leisachanim. So when Avtali Hertz said, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to just sell the plants. We're going to tell the Goyim that we're not selling you any karka in Eretz Yisrael. We're selling you all the plants that are growing in our fields, and we're making a condition that you have to chop them down and take them away. And he'll agree to that condition, and then the sale should be good. Now, if then he, is derelict in his duty and just doesn't fulfill his conditions, well, that's his problem. We did what Rabbi Yehuda told us we're allowed to do. We sold him the trees on condition that he chopped them down. And so we did what we're allowed to do. And he's supposed to chop it down. And if he doesn't chop it down, okay, he's not doing what he's supposed to do, but that's not our problem. And like this, and even though, of course, there's a major wink-wink over here because we all know that he's not chopping anything down.
It's not a sale till he chops it down.
What?
It's not a sale till he chops it down.
That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you're allowed to make a sale and make it on condition that he chop it down.
The sale goes through only when he chops it down.
That's not how it's written.
No, it's conditions don't. So this is what Naftali Hertz's idea, and apparently Rabbi Shulev Diskin thought that was a significant enough improvement. Again, obviously, this means that for him, the sticking point was Leis Hachanim. It means that as far as the other issues, right, because this isn't changing the Kinyan Lakam Lafkia, so as far as all that was concerned, he was happy with the Mechira, but he just felt you can't go ahead with the, because of the Leis Hachanim. So this Eitzef from Avtali Hertz was Matzachain Be'eni Rabbi Shulev Diskin, and that's why he gave his Haskama to it. Now, obviously, there's a cost to this, meaning in terms of the discussion we were having before about Harama. This really exacerbates the Harama problem. If the whole Heter is dependent on the fact that we're really just selling him the plant. We're selling him the way the Gemara describes it. It's really, it's only mutter because there's an expectation that he's gonna take it home with him. So if there is no such expectation, and we all know that it's staying mechu v'lekarka, so then that doesn't satisfy the requirement of Rabbi Yehuda. The opponents would say that that does not satisfy Rabbi Yehuda's requirement, even though you wrote the words of the Tanai as Rabbi Yehuda said it, but Rabbi Yehuda meant that it's mutter because he's really going to do that. And if he's not going to do it, then it shouldn't help l'gabe the yisrael l'sechanim. So that's again one of the major controversies that. But this was Rav Tali Hertz's solution, which was adopted again Rav Shulei B'Diskin, and then since then that's the way I think that it's been done. I think Abayam is that. Now, actually, I saw an interesting thing. I don't really know what's happening mamish nowadays. I mean, what I saw was more than 100 years ago. Sorry. What's interesting is that Rav Shlomo Zalman brings down that when Rav Kook came and he took over the Mechira, and that's starting from the Shemitah of Tav Reish Ayin, which was 1909-1910. So he, if I understood correctly, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that Rav Kook said, we're going to do both. We're going to do it the old way and Rav Tali Hertz's way. So we're writing a mechira on the karka and also a mechira on the plants with this tanai. You know, we're doing it the second way if you're not sure about the first way being mutter. We're doing it the first way if you're not sure that the second way escapes the problem of haraba. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that I don't understand. I don't understand at all how doing it two ways. You know, when you have a chashash on each one about whether it works. So then you do it two ways, and then you're hedging your bet. It's more safe. If the first one didn't work, the second one will work. If the second one doesn't work, the first one will work. But over here, if our problem with the first one was that it's usser, so we were doing the second one to avoid the isser. If you do both, then you didn't avoid any isser. So what are you even bothering with the second one for? He has that cash shot.
Well,
now,
the isser invalidates it.
What?
Because the isser maybe invalidates it.
Yeah, but
so you have to back up.
But if you're cheshish for the to the extent that you're cheshish for the isser, so why are you still doing it the usser way?
But it makes a chalos on the kinyan. Sure.
Okay, but they weren't really concerned about the isser. That wasn't interfering with the chalos of the kinyan. Mm-hmm. Except the truth is, I was going to bring in one last point. What?
How were they able to sell the karka? The second thing. You said they did it with the plants and the karka.
Right.
You can't sell the karka.
Right. That's what Shlomo Zalman's cash. That on the karka, if you're chayshish for the Yisr Mechira, again, there were those that defended the Yisr Mechira. I mentioned earlier of Sheila Kutna. He had a very interesting svara. Rav Pesach Frank also, I think, goes with this svara. He says it's a very stark svara and it's correct and we're he's comfortable with relying on this. That this relates to Chanim. Is that you're not allowed to sell the land in Eretz Yisrael. The idea is because Hashem wants the land to belong to the Yidden, not to the Goyim. So, lo yisitin lahem chaniya ba'aretz, you're not supposed to establish them in possession of the land. So, Rav Shulia Kutna said that if this mechira is going to have the net result of strengthening the yeshiva of the Yidden in the land, and for Keret not doing the mechira is going to weaken the position of the Yidden, and it's going to end up making it more likely that the land's going to wind up permanently by the Goyim, then that's not a Leis HaChanim. That was the Svara of the Yeshua Malkai and Rav Pesach Frank also, which the Chazon Ish wasn't impressed with this Svara. He didn't accept it. He said that, you know, it's a Maisa Isser, it shouldn't make difference what your Cheshvin is. But many places found this Svara very compelling, but it should be pointed out, though, that to the extent that you're relying on that Svara, that svara was said, again, it was first written in 1889, Geshmak Svara. Is it still relevant nowadays? Could you still say that this had the Mechira is going to make the difference about whether the Yidden or the Goyim remain in control of Eretz Yisrael? Is, much harder nowadays. I just want to mention one last Nakuda. It's a very, sort of like a, it's not one of the main arguments, but just it's sort of an interesting, clever chap that the Chazon Ish throws in. I don't know how seriously he meant it as, like, really, I mean, he was very, very against that to Mechira. He throws in this line.
He was pretty serious.
That's true. That's true.
Strictly halacha with the Chazonish.
That's right. He said, he throws in the following. He said, you know, we're talking now, I was saying that the third issue is about whether it's mutter or usser to do the sale, right? Quite apart from the question of whether it's chal and whether it helps to take off the Shemitah, but is it mutter or usser to do the sale? The Chazon Ish said it's actually not separate from the other two, because if you suppose that it's usser, so here's the problem. If an individual farmer wants to go sell his land to his Arab neighbor, okay, fine. You know, maybe it's usser, maybe it's mutter. Even if it's usser, it's not going to affect the chalais of the mechira. But the individual farmers are not selling it. The rabbanut is selling it, which means that they're operating with shlichus. The shluchas shladim kamaisai. But ain't shliach ledvar aveira. So if it's an aveira, it's mevatel the shlichus, and then the mechira is not going to be chal. The Chazon Ish throws that in. Now everybody, all the defenders that respond to this argument, the Chazon Ish, that's really very, that whole question of whether in Shlichus V'Aravera is Mavatel L'Shlichus or not, yeah. It's a Chiddush of the Neidu Behuda, it's to Tzum of Tais and Bava Mitzi, there's a lot of raid about that. So again, I don't think the Chazon Ish meant that. What?
It's only if it's an Avera.
Oh, right, that of course is also, right, obviously, you know, those that hold that it's, you know, that it's mutter, and if you hold of the heter, that it's right. The rabbi strengthening the yishuv, or there was another heter grad that some people said that the issur is to sell to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the Arabs are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and they were makbid that they would only sell to Arabs and not to Christians. But the Chazon Ish very forcefully rejects that argument. Also, he says there are rules about who falls into this category. There's an exemption for a ger teishav, but a ger teishav means somebody that was makabel al atzmai shevim is b'nei noyach and accepts that the yidden are chayiv entire gemishas b'nei shemayim. So go find a guy that falls into that category. But of course, right, those that hold that it's not an Aveira won't be concerned with this Shlich Dvar Aveira consideration. But the Chazon Ish held that it is an Aveira. But he knew that the question of Ein Shlich Dvar Aveira being Mevatel the Shlichos is very debatable, and maybe there's what Yesh Almin Lismach. But he throws in that there's at least a tzad that could undo the whole Mechira. But again, to wrap up in a nutshell, I think we got a sense of both sides of the argument in three separate areas. One, whether the mechira is chal, as far as the harama consideration. Two, whether, assuming it belongs to the goy, does that take off the mitzvah of Shemitah? And three, whether we have a problem with the Yisrael of Leisachanim.
What's the definition?